This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. On today's Noon Business Hour, we'll talk about the tumbling consumer confidence, also how some Chicago small businesses are trying to stay afloat, and Travel Tuesday, virtual travel, people going around the world virtually in the age of coronavirus. Right now, let's get the latest on the virus as it spreads across the country. New York is now seeing a nearly 15% jump in cases just overnight. Joining us with the latest, Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News. Michelle, let's begin with New York. What is the latest that you're hearing on what's going on there?
Yeah, well, so New York has now passed Wuhan and Hubei province in China as the epicenter of the outbreak for the entire world. So even though New York is only a third the size of Hubei, we have more cases there than anywhere else. And the governor there is saying another 2 to 3 weeks before we even hit the peak.
And is it, and maybe they don't know this yet, maybe they won't know until they're able to analyze it when it's all over, but does some of the urban areas, these very congested areas where people even live close together, does that make things maybe a little riskier than they would be, say, in some of the rural, more spread out areas?
Yeah, I find it really fascinating to know that New York City actually has half the cases in New York State. Obviously, by size, New York City is significantly smaller than half of New York State. But population-wise, it is pretty dense. And we have heard in the past that there might be some unique things to New York, like the subway systems and the density that's fueling the spread of the virus there. So who knows? But New York State itself is the leader, not just the city.
Some of these rural areas, obviously, it's not like they're going to be immune to COVID-19 cases. And it would seem as though it may be more challenging. They don't have necessarily all the same equipment or enough equipment if there is an outbreak in a smaller town.
Yeah, we're already seeing that in some parts of the country, right? We have some places in the South, particularly, where there have been a couple of funerals where the virus has spread, and now all of a sudden their small hospital is completely overrun. If you only have a small hospital with not so many ICU beds, only a handful of ventilators, it doesn't take very much in order for you to be completely overwhelmed.
Dr. Fauci says that he sees glimmers, that's his word, glimmers, that social distancing may actually be helping in the outbreak, not taking care of it, but helping in the outbreak. So obviously they're concerned that people might decide that they're going to start going outside and hanging out again. They want them to continue social distancing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really important to continue social distancing so that we can get the apex of the curve down so that we don't overwhelm our hospitals and healthcare systems. Of course, Disco, just as you say, as soon as people start going out again, we're going to start seeing those numbers come back up. So we need to get through this first wave and bring it all down lower. And then who knows how long it's going to keep going for, but probably a while.
Yeah, talk about that, because I think a lot of people are under the impression that this is a matter of weeks here, and then we'll just get over the hump and we'll be past this. But all the bending the curve is all about is slowing it down so that the medical professionals can keep up with the cases. It's expected to linger here for at least several months.
Exactly. It's just really interesting that, you know, that some places have a little bit more of a realistic expectation. In Virginia, they canceled everything out until June already. So they just skipped entirely over April and May and said, we're done until June. I haven't heard anybody else going quite that far. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, as you say, if you do social distancing, you lower the curve, you basically push it out. So we're looking at, I mean, even New York City that's completely overrun, 3 more weeks, and then it's supposed to go from New York to other places. So, you know, absolutely months, with the exception of the fact that, you know, should the warm weather somehow turn everything around, wouldn't explain why we're seeing cases in places like Florida and Louisiana, where it's very hot and warm and sticky. But should that happen, maybe we'll have some respite, but don't count on it.
Thanks so much, Michelle Cortez, a health reporter at Bloomberg News. Just ahead, a look at the economic fallout of the pandemic and how soon could a recovery take place. U.S. consumer confidence slumped in March to the lowest level in nearly 3 years. We're joined now by Richard DeKayser, chief corporate economist at Wells Fargo, based in Washington, D.C. Richard, give us some of the nuts and bolts here. How bad was it?
Well, it doesn't look as bad as it probably was, which is to say that this is a survey done in the month of March, and things have been moving, as you all know, in the month of March pretty quickly. So to the extent that there are other surveyors out there doing daily or weekly surveys of consumer sentiments, it's been pretty much a straight move down over the course of the month so far. So I'd look at this number. On the face of it, it's not so bad. You're right, it's a big decline, but it's still at a fairly lofty level. Any number over 100 in this regard is generally considered favorable, and we certainly got that. But again, I don't think it's reflective of where we truly are at this moment, given how the virus really is spread over the course of the month and how people are responding to it.
And so does that mean we could expect this maybe to continue to slip here over the next month or two?
I think so. I think so. I think we can expect in the month of April the number will be significantly worse overall. Now, in terms of the big question is, how does this affect the economy? And it matters, but it's not dominant. What really matters for the economy are other things, especially for the consumer economy, like wealth and jobs, much more important than sentiments. Unfortunately, those numbers aren't looking very good either. We're seeing an increase in layoff activity that's quite strong. And wealth, as we know, which is in part driven by the stock market, isn't doing well either.
We're especially seeing those furloughs, is what they're calling them, in the retail sector. A sector, bricks and mortar, wasn't exactly doing well as it was.
Well, that's right. That's right. And hopefully these people are going to be recipients of the federal aid, which is slated to come out in a couple of weeks. But that is unquestionably the most vulnerable sector of the economy, the retail sector, where we're, you know, probably losing something to the tune of 50% of all jobs over a short period of time. And that's really critical. I want to just emphasize that. I know I was listening into your previous caller or participant, rather. And if this is limited to a month or two, that's very different than if it extends for four or five. So timing matters a lot. And while we have certainly bad numbers coming at us over the next couple of months, if that's the full extent of it, the economy should recover in the second half.
I don't know if economists are able to account for this yet, but it seems as though if we have to look for a silver lining here, or at least something that makes it not quite as bad as it would be, it's the fact that we're in the internet age where there are a lot of people who can work from home who otherwise would not be able to work from home. They'd just be shut down.
Oh, absolutely. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
And even beyond that, even the traditional service-oriented jobs like, you know, restaurants, we're talking about retail. You know, I live in an urban environment, and there's probably a dozen restaurants within a short walk of my house. Every single one of them is open. No one's doing seating. No one's doing table service, but they're all doing takeout and delivery. So, and that's thanks, of course, to all the online apps that allow people to order and hook up with delivery services that are out and about. So, yeah, technology is going to mitigate this to some extent.
Goldman Sachs says 15% jobless rate, 34% GDP decline. But when it is over, whenever that is, a really fast recovery, maybe the fastest in history. What do you think about that prediction?
I say amen to that. Again, we actually do some modeling work trying to predict the path of the coronavirus. We think it'll be peaking in terms of new cases in the next couple of weeks, and peaking in terms of total cases by the end of May. If that's the case, you'll see all the restrictions on social activity lifted by June, and all these dollars that people aren't spending are going to go somewhere. Those vacations will be taken, those meals will be eaten, those movies will be seen. So I agree with the strong rebound. And I want to emphasize that 30% drop I think you mentioned, that's for a single quarter at an annual rate, not a total economic decline.
Good, good. Thanks so much for the clarity. Thanks for all of the analysis. Always good stuff from Richard DeKayser, Chief Corporate Economist at Wells Fargo. Just ahead, a look at how Chicago's small businesses are navigating the coronavirus world.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Small businesses in Chicago are looking for a lifeline from the $2 trillion federal economic stimulus bill. Let's get the latest on what kind of help they can get. Greg Hines, columnist for Crain's Chicago Business, joins us. Greg, is there any help in there for small businesses?
Yeah, there is help. This is a terribly complicated thing, but one of the things they did in the stimulus bill, or whatever you want to call the bill, the big $2.2 trillion one, is they put in $370 billion in loans to small business to cover payroll that are effectively forgivable. In other words, you get to keep the money if you follow certain rules.
And that is, I guess, in theory, going to allow some people to stay employed who otherwise would be thrown on unemployment.
It'll take care of. It's good for the employees. It's good for the employers because they get to stay in business. It's good for everybody if they actually get the money out the door in a hurry, the way they're supposed to. Here's the way it works. You can apply if you're a small business. This is just defined as fewer than 500 employees, or if you're a sole practitioner or an independent contractor, you can apply for a loan based on your average payroll, 2.5 times your average payroll costs over the previous 12 months. And you can use that money to pay payroll, to pay rent, to pay your utilities, anything else. And if you do, the government will forgive the loan. You don't have to pay it back. In other words, it becomes a grant. The restaurant guys in particular are very excited about this and the small retailers because you don't have to post collateral. You don't have to make any kind of a personal declaration. You can go in if you're a small business and apply for it and get it through your local financial institution, the folks you're usually dealing with, rather than having to deal with a bunch of hassle with the Small Business Administration.
Is it easier maybe for those businesses, think especially about the restaurants, once this is passed, to ramp back up? Easier to ramp back up when those employees are still getting paid, even if they're not doing a lot of work, as opposed to reopening and having to track everyone down after they've been laid off?
It could be. But this is one step at a time. This money is only good for an 8-week period. So if we get through this crisis in 8 weeks, then what you're talking about, it becomes operative. I have a funny hunch, though, we're not going to be through this in 8 weeks, which means that Congress is going to have to extend this, and I suspect there's going to be some inflation to do this. But, yeah, in theory, what you're talking about could help. You know, it keeps everybody together. It keeps life going on at least a little bit. It gives people money. It improves cash flow. I hope it works the way they say it's supposed to.
Seems like it would help. Yeah, you have those small businesses, but also you mentioned the rent. I mean, the landlords who they have mortgages, they have property taxes, they have expenses. So if the rent can't be paid, they get hit too.
Yep. All true. All I know is there was the trade groups are very excited about this. They're trying to get out the word to their members, but I suspect a lot of folks who run little stores or restaurants still haven't quite heard about this. So I would encourage them to check out my story, check with their local financial institution. But like I said, the general rule here is you can borrow up to $10 million if you're a small business, fewer than 500 people, or if you're working by yourself, if you're a sole practitioner, and use that to pay salary and your other expenses, and you don't have to pay it back if you follow those rules.
Always good information and insight. Greg Hines, he is a columnist. You can read him in Crain's Chicago Business. Still ahead, taking a vacation from the comfort of your living room.
News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM and WBBMNewsRadio.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Preparations continue for an expected surge of coronavirus cases in Illinois. As spring break trips fall by the wayside because of COVID-19, people are looking for alternatives to get away. Virtual parties are also taking off. People trying to keep their social distance but still have a good time. On Wall Street, the Dow down 281 points. The NASDAQ is down 61 and the S&P is down 36. Oil is up right about 1%. We have clouds in Chicagoland. Some sunshine tomorrow. Right now, 39 degrees at O'Hare, 36 degrees along Chicago's lakefront as we head to a high of 44 degrees. McCormick Place is being converted to a temporary hospital in anticipation of coronavirus demand.
Governor Pritzker says McCormick Place will have 3,000 beds that will be used for COVID-19 patients who need hospitalization but do not need intensive care treatment. He says the first 500 beds arrived Saturday and are being installed by the Illinois National Guard and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Mayor Lori Lightfoot says the city is actively working to staff the site.
If you have healthcare training, we have a job for you. Doctors, nurses, certified medical assistants, and healthcare administrators. These personnel are critical to manage the surge of patients we anticipate.
Governor Pritzker says McCormick Place would be used for patients if existing hospitals reach capacity. Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 FM.
Illinois State Police are clarifying their public safety role during the COVID-19 pandemic.
The shelter-in-place order is designed to reduce the spread of COVID-19 in Illinois. And while Illinois State Police will be enforcing the executive order, officials say it's the responsibility of every resident to do their part. Sergeant Delilah Garcia tells WBBM law enforcement is more likely to intervene if they witness crowds of people gathering, bars or restaurants having a room full of customers eating in, or employees being asked to report to work in person at non-essential businesses. State police say non-compliance with the executive order can result in criminal and civil sanctions. Rachel Pearson, News Radio, 105.9 FM.
If you're among the many now working from home, ask your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio for all the latest developments. WBBM News Time, 12:32.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Markets are lower at this hour. We're joined by Jim Welsh, macro strategist, portfolio manager at Smart Portfolios in San Diego. Jim, kind of interesting to watch these markets today. Everything is positive and kind of moving along, slightly positive. And then about 45 minutes ago, things went down. And now we have everything down. Dow, S&P down about 1%. The NASDAQ down about 0.5%.
Yeah, I think what's happening, Cisco, is, you know, the market was extraordinarily oversold a week ago. You know, yesterday, Monday the 23rd, we had this huge snapback rally. And now it's almost as if you're at that equilibrium point where people are trying to reassess what really is going to happen with the economy and earnings, and you get some give and take, and volatility has lessened as well. So I think this is likely to continue for a bit longer, but my expectation is that going back to 1929 and looking at prior episodes like we just went through, the S&P has typically gone down and retested those lows or taken them out by a little bit. So I think as we go out 3 to 6 weeks from now, there's a good chance that we're going to see another leg lower in the market as really the market comes to grip with the unbelievably negative economic data we're going to be receiving.
And so people who saw that initial bump up and maybe started panicking a little bit, thinking that they needed to get back in, maybe those people should kind of settle down a little bit and just watch things over the next couple of weeks.
I think so. Again, what we're going to experience is unprecedented in terms of compression of time and the degree of decline in the economy. A lot of debate on, gee, is it going to be a V-shape? No, it's not going to be a V-shape recovery. Is it going to be U, where you kind of go along the bottom and then you snap back hard? I don't think so. My guess is that we go down, we bobble around, and then it's a slow recovery. It takes a while for just human beings to have to have gone through this experience to really feel comfortable in terms of going back out in public. And I just think this it's going to be a process of trying to work our way back to normal At the same time, businesses are going to be doing the same thing. They're going to reopen, but they're not going to have customers or as many customers. They're going to bring back some employees, but they're not going to bring back all the employees they had because their business is still going to be down 10 or 15 or 20%. So I think it's going to take a while for all this to unwind. And that's why, again, I think the probabilities in looking at history, Cisco, the market has gone back down to near the lows or made lower lows. And so I think what you just said is makes sense. You know, do not be over aggressive at this point in time, but be prepared so that if the market does sell off again, that you're not frightened by it and you look to try to take advantage of it.
And so I found it interesting. I'm tracking with what you're saying here. I found it interesting that Goldman Sachs says we'll end up with the fastest recovery in U.S. history because, I'm going along with what you're saying here, that it's not like you just snap your fingers and all the businesses, all the employees and all the consumer spending, all of that just gets ramped up to where it was.
Yeah. I mean, to me, this is worse. I've been writing this, that this is worse than 2008, because in 2008, you had, 10% unemployment, which was horrible. But 90% of the people had jobs. They could go to the movie, go out to a restaurant, go out to a shopping mall. But right now, we're being told to shelter in place. And if we all do it, it's going to make a huge benefit for, what the ultimate outcome is going to be. But it means we're not doing all those things, even those who are still getting a paycheck and so forth. So that is the key difference between today and 2008. The Fed has done what it needs to do. There's a safety net that has been, created by Congress. But that process of returning to normalcy is definitely going to take time.
Are there any sectors that are protected during a time like this that are maybe safer than others, given the fact that what you're saying is even if people do have money, they can't really spend it on anything?
Yeah, things like staples and so forth have held up better than because people are buying soup and they're buying toilet paper and so forth that are in the staples. They will continue to hold up. But I think once we feel that this whole process is really, for the most part, behind us, those sectors are not going to be the ones in demand. I remember 2009, it was pretty ugly, but the market started to rally strongly, not because things were good. It was just because they became less bad for a period of time. And I think that analogy is going to hold true, that if the market does make a bottom and retest that low between now and, let's say, Memorial Day, during the summer, the economy is not going to be booming. But I think the stock market could be enjoying a big move higher because things are just going to get less bad and we know we're on the road to recovery. That would be my guess of the path we're going to take.
Thanks so much for the analysis, Jim Welsh. He is a macro strategist, portfolio manager at Smart Portfolios. Up next, Travel Tuesday, getting away without leaving your home.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour. Stay-at-home orders have resulted in canceled spring vacations. Let's discuss ways to adapt and still get a break from the day-to-day. Cindy Richards is joining us, editor-in-chief of TravelingMom.com here in Chicago. Cindy, we're talking about virtual experiences, ways you can just go on your laptop, tablet, your phone, and feel like you're getting away.
Yeah, we're calling it Travel at Home at Traveling Mom. And, the wonders of the internet, right, can bring everything right into our houses. You can tour museums. You can see, you can look at the artwork in the Uffizi in Italy. You can walk around the British Museum. And closer to home, we have some really cool stuff. One of my favorites, actually, is the Shedd Aquarium. They're running Facebook videos. My favorite was the one where they put a GoPro on an octopus. And you get to see the world from an octopus point of view, which is pretty fun.
Haven't they been showing you the penguins kind of playing with each other too?
And the penguins all over, right? They're having so much fun. That the video of the penguin and the baby whale, was it a whale? The baby whale, I think, looking at each other through the glass. It's so much fun. Yeah, so that's all happening on the Shedd Facebook page. A lot of and Brookfield Zoo is doing a lot of cool stuff with Facebook Lives as well. A lot of the museums, you have to go to the website, their actual website, not their Facebook page, and you can take things like virtual tours of the exhibits. The Smithsonian museums, the amazing national museums, the Smithsonians are doing a lot of cool virtual tours at their museums as well.
So is it just photos, videos, that sort of stuff? Any museums doing anything interactive? I'm especially thinking for kids, a lot of parents home with kids these days.
Well, and all trying, we're all trying to figure out how to homeschool kids, right? Because it's something we never thought we were going to be doing. The Museum of Science and Industry, which has been my favorite museum since I was a little kid, is doing science at home exhibits or programs that you can go and you can just download. You can watch videos of science experiments that are easy to do at home and lots of fun to keep kids busy for, you know, 30 minutes or so, which sometimes is a godsend.
You mentioned Brookfield Zoo. I think I've seen them sort of letting some of the animals roam around where they don't normally go and being able to videotape that, which, I mean, that's fun because you can't do that ordinarily when the zoo is open.
Well, and they're doing a lot of the behind the scenes zoo experiences, which, you know, your average visit to the Brookfield Zoo, you're not going to get to watch how they draw blood from a polar bear or, you know, any of the other stuff that they have to do that isn't on display for the visitors.
Disney World is shut down. A lot of people disappointed by that. A lot of vacations canceled. Is Disney able to do anything online to let you have a little fun?
Well, it's not exactly like being there, but you can take a virtual ride on a roller coaster. You know, the Star Wars is the newest one there, but actually my favorite roller coaster there is the Slinky Dog Dash at Toy Story Land. And there's a site called Virtual Disney World, which is not a Disney World site. It's a person who's filmed all of these rides, and you can kind of climb aboard and feel like you're taking a ride at Disney World.
What if you're a national park fan? It's you know, like you say with Disney, it's not the same as actually being on a ride, but are you able to in any way experience the beautiful national parks?
It's the next best thing. You know, there's a live cam that's showing the cherry blossoms in D.C. where, you know, people got in trouble. There were so many people coming out and actually looking at the cherry blossoms. You can do it from your home, sitting on your couch. Just cue up the live cam. You can look at the Grand Canyon. There's beautiful pictures. Oh, just breathtaking. You can fly over the volcano at Volcano National Park in Hawaii.
Good stuff, as always. Thank you. Cindy Richards, Editor-in-Chief, TravelingMom.com, joining us on Travel Tuesday. This time tomorrow, Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, throwing a party in a time of social distancing. How do you get it done?
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
People are looking for alternative ways to socialize amid the COVID-19 pandemic. How about throwing a party, a virtual party? Let's talk about it. Laura Reitzma, founder, Fierce Productions here in Chicago. Laura, obviously social distancing means people can't party the way they used to. Is there some way, though, that they can still stay connected and have fun?
Hey, yeah, you're absolutely right. We specialize in event planning, design, and entertainment, and we can't really do that in person right now. So I wanted to come up with an idea, a virtual party that Fierce Productions would host to bring people together and lighten the mood and support my other fellow small businesses and vendors out there who are losing business right now due to COVID-19.
So what does it look like? What does a virtual party look like?
Yeah, so we're going to have curated performances. Fierce Productions is all about supporting the arts community here in Chicago. So we're going to have curated performances from the drag community and the burlesque community. And we're going to have a cameo by a DJ bartender from the Broken Shaker. He'll be shaking cocktails, and we encourage everyone at home to mix up their beverage of choice for the occasion. And we're going to have an epic dance party by DJ Michael of Cajun Aquarium. Super important to me that people get up and dance, and Fierce Productions is known for fierce, epic dance parties.
And so you got people at home on video watching the live stream, taking part in it. Obviously, it's not the same, but it's a way to help them still feel connected.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm not an expert at this right now, and there's not a perfect platform or streaming device out there that allows the interactive nature that I love, that, you know, we specialize in at Fierce Productions, and also have the high quality video content and music. So the streaming platform that we choose will send out on our Instagram and our Facebook at Fierce Pros, where you can follow us, or on our website, fierce-productions.com, and we'll have a link available to the party.
You know, it's actually, you mentioned that you're not an expert on this. This is one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, because you have been on the show before. You are an entrepreneur. This is you pivoting, like a lot of other business owners in the age of coronavirus, trying to say, all right, if we can't do events the way we would normally do them, how do we do them in this age for this time?
Exactly. And gatherings of people and events are all about bringing people together and finding joy and creating unforgettable, memorable experiences. And I'm still trying to find a way to do that, even if it has to be virtual. So you're absolutely right.
And so the key for that, it would seem, I mean, everyone understands what's going on, so everyone knows that they're not going to be able to do it the way they normally do it. It would seem like the key would be high quality, a good production so that people feel like it's done well and like they're a part of something special.
Exactly, because I have been doing a lot of research, and I find that a lot of people peace out pretty quickly if the quality of the music is not very good, or it's difficult, or there's technical problems. So we're putting a lot of thought and effort behind this to make sure that the product that we deliver is super high quality. And we're still going to have ways of interacting with us through our Instagram, and possibly even having, best dancer or having like best dressed, and then giving out gift cards from local restaurants.
Well, good stuff. Really, really good way to pivot and evolve in the coronavirus age. Thank you so much. Good to have you back on the show. Laura Reitzma, founder of Fierce Productions here in Chicago. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, the replay podcast will be available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app. And remember, anytime during the day, if you want to listen to news radio, you can listen on the radio or just ask your smart speaker. Just say, play WBBM News Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.